Maybe they can use a little bit different incense in the morning. Like the last few days, that black incense is just like really deadly for me. I mean, even the short time when the devotees are offering, it's just like, I'm just ready to call the R, you know. You see the black stuff?
That's the homework.
Yeah, that's probably it. That's what they've been offering then?
Yes.
Okay, why don't you offer something else, like
hemp
incense or something. But anyway, it's really heavy stuff. Okay. Just let me play guitar, sing Mangalarti tea. Don't like the smell of incense.
What should get that electronic one?
Yeah, electronic. Anyway, we kicked out of the Hare Krishna room before you.
I know.
Don't like the sound of cartel. Yeah, I'm in trouble. Big trouble. And everyone's watching me say this on the internet. Which is even worse. No, I'm like this normally. I'm worse than this normally. All right. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihari,
Jaya Radha Madhava,
Jaya Kunja Vihari, Jaya Madhava, Jaya. Yeah. Paramahansa Paravidakacharya, also Tello Sutashi Shimad, His Divine Grace Abhaya, Charanada Bhaktivinanda Gosami, Srila Prabhupada Kijaya Iskan, Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijaya Tantakoti, Vaishnav Vrindakijaya Namacharya, Srila Vidas Thakur Kijaya, Purem Sekaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha, Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindakijaya, Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath, Sayam Kunda, Radhakinda Giri Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai, Maturidam Kijai, Jagannatha Swami Kijai, Yamunamai Kijai, Srimati Lassi Devi Kijai, Samavita Bhakta Vrinda Kijai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bom. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bom. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Jiramani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarani Sambhopad Kijai. So, we can continue with our study of the Jiva Dharma by Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur. And it's very interesting readings that help us understand how to behave as Vaishnavas. You know, very, very interesting. So we were talking about, yesterday we were talking about the devotional service and the three modes of nature. Goodness, passion, and energy, remember that?
Yeah.
And that deals with motivation. Like in the mode of ignorance and passion, one is envious, proud. Thank you. You're not proud.
No.
Keshav's not proud or envious. He's all good. Yeah, he's good. You're all good. I'm bad.
No.
So, I'm the bad one. So anyway, envious, proud, separatist, things like that. And goodness, people simply want liberation. So these are the qualities of a Kanishtha Adhikari. So a Madhyama Adhikari is doing devotional service to please Krishna. Like that verse, Anyabhi Lashita Shunyam Dhyana Karma Navratam Anukulyena Krishnandushilanam Bhattu Uttamam. That devotional service is done to please Krishna, doing what Krishna wants. Now, what do you want to do for Krishna? Ask not what Krishna can do for you, but what you can do for Krishna. Anyway. That's Madhyama Adhikari. So let's go. Om Gana Timirandasha Gadan Jana Shlokaya Chakshura Midikam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, who kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So let us share the screen, not with all of you, but with the good devotees online. So, I'm just trying. So anyway, we got a lot of people watching today. 32 people watching. 32 people, and then there's probably about quite a few on Facebook. Probably 7 or 8, right?
10.
10 on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's a big class, isn't it?
Yeah.
You wouldn't get that much in the temple room with this in the middle of the week. So, okay. So, Nityananda, so there's a conversation again between Nityananda Das, not Lord Nityananda, and Hari Das, Bhavgas Babaji, who is a very old Babaji, he's like 100 years old, and he's answering the questions of Nityananda Das, and Nityananda Das is asking about the different he's asking about the different grades of Vaishnavas, particularly he's talking about Kanishtha right now. So Nityananda Das is asking, if a Kanishtha by association concentrates on deity worship, How can it be said that he does not serve devotees? So, anyway, so this question. So Haridas' answer says, faith for worshiping the deity arises from accidentally associating with the devotees, Sukriti. That's called Agyata Sukriti. Agyata Sukriti means accidentally, without knowing, you're getting some devotional benefit. Such as when a devotee gives you a book, you open a door for a devotee, you serve a devotee, but you're not really intending to do it. But it is necessary to worship the deity and serve the devotees at the same time. In other words, you can't just serve the deities. As long as that faith does not arise, it is not full faith, and the qualification for pure bhakti does not arise. In other words, if one is just serving the deities and not serving the Vaishnavas, then the qualification of pure bhakti doesn't arise. Simple as that. Just like the injunction is that if a Vaishnava comes to your house and you're doing your puja, you have to stop your puja and take care of them. And even if you're the only pujari in the temple, you got to do that. That'd be radical. You know, Radha Gopinath, there you're doing puja. And the Vaishnava, not just any guests, obviously. Yeah. You get guests during the day, you never finish an arti, if it was like that. But, you know, some advanced Vaishnava comes in, then you stop and say, what can we do to serve you? And the Vaishnava will probably say, just continue the arti, you rascal. So Nityananda Das says, what are the stages of the Kanishtha's progress? You know, so Kanishtha has different stages too. Like we mentioned before, in the Kanishtha Adhikari platform, there's Kanishtha Kanishtha, Majjhima Kanishtha, and Uttama Kanishtha, and Majjhima Kanishtha. Haridas said, the one may have faith in the deity because of many contaminations. It is not without other desires. Every day the person worships the deity. By accident, some devotee arrives as a guest at his place of worship. He gets the opportunity to welcome the devotee like a guest. He sees the activities of the devotee. He hears the scriptures that the devotee studies. He develops respect for the character of the devotee on seeing him and hearing from him. His own character becomes purified by association with the devotees. It's not enough to do deity worship. You have to associate with the devotees, hear from the devotees, admire the devotees. Gradually, his contamination of karma and jnana decrease. As the heart becomes purified, his desires for other goals in his bhakti dissipate. In other words, other things, that's anyabhi lashita, like liberation, sense gratification, a PR, you know what a PR is? Permanent residence.
Oh, permanent residence. I think in
population. Right? I say, you know, what am I doing? I should just be worshiping the deity. If they associate with devotees. Only that happens by associating with devotees. If you just do deity worship, it won't completely purify you. You have to engage in the process of hearing and chanting. So, as his heart becomes purified, his desires for other goals in his bhakti dissipate. Hearing about the Lord and his status, he begins to study scriptures. Reflecting on the nature of the Lord, it's quite hot in here.
Would you like
warm water? No. I should have taken my cough drops this morning. Reflecting on the nature of the Lord, his name, his deity, hearing, chanting, etc., which are all beyond the gunas, the modes of nature, he develops sambandha jnana gradually. Remember what we talked about, what sambandha jnana is?
Yeah.
Sambandha jnana is knowledge of the tattvas, the Lord. Someone's coughing. What? This is not for me. It's rather coughing. Sambandha jnana is knowledge about the Lord, the jiva souls. Oh my God. knowledge about the Lord, the deep of souls. Do you have some cough drops? No.
Cough drops.
Give a cough drop.
Andrew.
It's better I take one that way. Let's see if that helps. He develops sambandha-gyana. With his knowledge is complete, he becomes a Majjhimottikari. When you know who Krishna is, when you know who the living entity is, and you know the material energy, and you know the relationships between them, then you become a Majjhimottikari. And you serve the Vaishnavas. These are necessary points. At this time, association with devotees and service to devotees takes place. He distinguishes welcoming ordinary guests from serving the devotee whom he regards as guru. In other words, one sees all the devotees basically as guru. Respects all the devotees. Even if a devotee speaks harshly to someone, you respect him. It's easy to respect someone who actually speaks nicely to you. But to someone who speaks harshly, that is a test for our Krishna consciousness. So, Nityananda Das said, why do many Kanishta devotees never advance? They just stay Kanishta. And then Haridas answers, if bad association, malicious persons, is strong, their qualification as Kanishta is quickly destroyed and qualification for Karma and Jnana becomes strong. In other words, they even go lower than Kanishta. Because Lord Chaitanya was asked in one juncture, what is the quality of a Vaishnava? And he answered, a satsanga chagi Vaishnava char. A Vaishnava gives a bad association. Now, we know from previously reading this that it's not that we don't at all talk to people or interact with people. In our social dealings, we have to do these things. Remember, we were reading about that in a previous chapter. We have to have some interactions with people. And, you know, you're working in the workplace, you have to meet all your family. Whoops.
Is this what is it?
No, this will put me to sleep. anyway, later on I have cough drops upstairs, it's not a problem. So, we have to interact with people, but we don't develop close relationships with them. You know, it's official. Like I say, if you have a father-in-law who's not happy with Krishna consciousness, you don't tell, let me tell you all about Krishna consciousness. You should surrender, and you know, you're eating whatever you're eating, boga or meat or whatever they're eating. It just won't work. Or if you reveal your mind, you know, let's say I'm having some trouble with my husband, who's a devotee, you know, to a non-devotee. Then the non-devotee would say, that's because he took up Krishna consciousness. They'll use it as an opportunity to criticize Krishna consciousness, isn't it? You say, you know, I'm having trouble controlling my mind. Well, why don't you take up that Hare Krishna movement? Serve that rascal guru. So they actually many times non-devotees or family members are envious of the guru too. Mm-hmm. Isn't it?
Yeah.
So you don't even talk about the guru in front of them. Guru, you know, I don't have any guru.
Yeah.
You could say that to them. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was asked, how many disciples do you have? And he said, I have four. Two arms and two legs. So, anyway, so you have to be careful who you associate with, but you still interact with everybody as a perfect gentleman. And don't let them understand you become a devotee, basically. It's just like the Prabhupada used the example of the gopis, how they were hiding the fact that they were dancing with Krishna at night, because they weren't hiding too well. But anyway, they acted perfectly in their relationships. And that instruction was given to Raghunath Das Goswami, too, who was actually agitating his parents by wanting to run away from home. Finally, he ran away from home. In some instances, their qualification does not progress and is not destroyed. In other words, depending depending on how bad the association is, there's degrees of badness. The first degree is if they're just materialists. And, you know, they accept your Christian consciousness. And the worst degree of badness is if they offend. That's the worst degree of badness. The one is almost like innocent. Nityanandadas says, what is this case? Haridas Thakur, Haridas Das Babaji said, when the association of devotees and malicious persons is of equal strength, then destruction and progress both do not take place. In other words, one just remains on the same level. Nityananda Das says, in what case is there certain progress? And then the Haridas answers, when association with devotees is more and association with malicious persons is less, then this progress is quick. So it really depends on your association. Really. Avoiding bad association and then taking good association. Wow. Please describe the Kanishtha's inclination to Papa and Punya. Papa doesn't mean his father. You know Papa? What does Papa mean? Yeah.
Oh, this is like the bad thing you get.
Yeah, Papa means sin. And Punya means pious activities. Haridas said, in the beginning, his inclination for Papa and Punyas is like that of the Karmis and Jnanis. As his inclination for Bhakti increases, his inclination for Papa and Punya decreases. In other words, he becomes less inclined towards even pious activities, or to speak of impious activities. The tendency to please the Lord becomes very strong. That's a symptom of the Majjhimottic heart. A very strong tendency to please love. What's the purpose of your life? To please my Guru and please Krishna. And, you know, otherwise, purpose of my life, well, to enjoy, I have Krishna consciousness there. It's good, and I'm real pious, you know, like that. Nityananda Das said, Prabhu, I've understood about the Kanishtadikari. Now, here comes the interesting stuff. Now please describe the primary symptoms of the Majjhimottakari. Some of this we've heard before. The primary qualities of the Majjhima are pure bhakti for the Lord. Wow, that's a high standard, isn't it? In other words, let's say, doesn't mean as a pure devotee. There's a difference. But unmixed by karma and jnana. That's the point. He desires to become a pure devotee. And that's also pure devotee. But it's not mixed with a desire for liberation, or I join the Hare Krishna movement because I'm in distress, or I want money, or something like that. It's simply, I want to become a pure devotee. I'm not now, I want to become a pure devotee, that's Majjhima. So when you hear the expression pure bhakti, it doesn't refer to prema bhakti. Friendship with the devotees, in the four classes again, friendship with the devotees, considering them his very self, considering the devotees his very self, being possessive of them. Wow. They're my family, you know. In other words, possessive. Not that I own you. Not possessive in that sense. Worshipping them, worshipping the devotees, and regarding them as places of pilgrimage. Because associating with the devotee is more valuable than associating with all the places of pilgrimage, traveling all over India and seeing all the sacred rivers. Giving mercy to the ignorant, we heard about that before, and being indifferent to the malicious. His primary activity is achieving prema. In other words, his primary goal is achieving pure devotional service, prayojana, which is prayojana. By sadhana, that's his primary activity. Like Prabhupada described, his father, who ran a cloth shop, but Prabhupada said his primary activity was, you know, sadhana's puja. That's called abhideya. Now the abhideya here is performed with sambandha jnana. It's in other words, performed with knowledge and understanding what he's doing. It's not ritualistic. You know, sometimes we have all these different injunctions and rituals, and we have to understand, we're talking about this yesterday, the priorities between the injunctions and rituals. Sometimes you have to sacrifice lesser rituals. You know, like if we talk about being Vedic, sometimes we have to sacrifice lesser Vedic injunctions. Like, you know, the Bhagavatam has a lot of these lesser Vedic injunctions for sannyasis and things like that, or Vanaprasthas, whatever. And one has to sacrifice them for the preaching. Normally he does Nama Kirtan, etc., without offense, along with the devotees. In other words, he does Kirtan with the devotees, Sankirtan. Nityananda Das said, those are the primary qualities. And so Nityananda says, what are the secondary qualities? And Haridas says, his secondary quality is his manner of living life. His life is completely dependent on Krishna's desire and favorable to bhakti. Nityananda Das says, in other words, he has some occupation that's not sinful. However, in this material world, everything you do has some connection. Like you provide electricity for people, they're not exactly using it to worship Krishna.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Or you're paying salaries to your employees. They're not all like Hare Krishna devotees who are chanting their 16 rounds every day. Or if you happen to be driving a taxi, you got to transport so many things that are untouchable. Any occupation, isn't it? Or even when you go out to shop, you're contributing to people's, you know, nefarious activities, but at least your main occupation should not be something, you shouldn't be a butcher. That's it. Devotees definitely should not be a butcher. So, bad idea. Nityananda says, do sin and offense remain in him? Haridas says, in the beginning stage, a little remain. Gradually they disappear. What remains in the beginning state appears like a crushed chickpea. I like that example. And then it disappears. Yukta Vairagya is the characteristic of his life. What is it? Yukta Vairagya means to use everything in Krishna's service, like Prabhupada did. Everything. To see that Krishna owns everything, everything is meant for his pleasure, and use it in his service. Nityananda Das says, do karma, jnana, and other desires remain a little? It's an interesting question. Haridas said, in the beginning stage, so we can relate to this, you know, we can all relate to this, in the beginning stage, a trace remains. He has some inclination. Finally, they're completely uprooted, so there's gradual stages. What remains in the beginning stage is sometimes visible, but that trace disappears. In other words, sometimes other people can see that they have some desire for karma or jnana. Like I gave that example when I first joined the movement, I simply wanted to get liberated. The material world was so miserable, it's just like, oh, my God. But now when there's misery, I just, Krishna. Of course, don't make it too miserable. You know, just limit the misery. But, you know, basically I'm not, you know, when something happens that's dramatic, I don't just say, oh, Krishna, just let me go and become a Babaji. I just think, you know, this is what I'm due, and now I have to learn a lesson. So Nityananda Das said, do they desire to continue living? If so, why? In other words, does the Majjhimadhikari desire to continue living? Haridas replies, they desire to live only to perfect their bhajan. They have no desire simply to live or to become liberated. In other words, just to live for the sake of living. There's no desire, you know. It's just like, huh? What's the meaning? And a life without meaning has no purpose, right? What's the meaning of your life, Connor? To serve your parents, right?
My mom said she prayed for me to take care of you.
Oh.
Wow.
That's nice. So that's the meaning of your life.
Just denounce
for the Bushman. So that means it That means you have to be taking sannyas pretty quickly. Like Madhvacharya did, yeah. Madhvacharya wanted to take sannyas really early in life, and his parents objected because they had no other son. And he made a deal with them. Yeah. If you have another son, can I take sannyas? And so the way, it's interesting, the way that sannyasi attracted Madhvacharya was he kept giving him sweets when he was young. So, you know, it's just like psychological like that. So we should do that with the young people. Give you some sweets. Do you eat sweets?
Yes.
Okay. Then you'll think, this sannyasi is nice. He gives me sweets all the time. My parents, you know, they restrict me. Don't let me do what I want, right? So anyway, they have no desire to live, simply to live. Nityananda Das said, why do they not desire to die? Are they happy living in material bodies? If they die, will they not be situated in their spiritual forms by Krishna's mercy? And this is an interesting answer. Haridas said, all their desires are dependent on Krishna's desire. So in other words, when Krishna desires, this is what said, that will happen. It wasn't the necessity of desiring it. In other words, we don't want to die. We don't want to live. We simply, you know, that's a pure devotee. If Krishna wants, like Prabhupada said, the devotee should pray for him. If Krishna, you so desire, please cure Prabhupada. So that's the same attitude that Prabhupada was showing us that's manifest here. It's a very interesting statement. What is the necessity of their desiring it? Because they have no separate other desires other than the desires of the Lord. I've understood the characteristics of the Madhyamadhikari. What are the secondary symptoms of the Uttamadhikari? This gets even more interesting. Haridas said, simply their bodily actions, but those actions are dependent on prema, which is beyond the gunas. In other words, every action, every motion they make is actually beyond the gunas. The Madhyamadhikari, I mean, they have many motions of their body or whatever that have, you know, that are actually due to their past conditioning. And I realized that when I was watching Prabhupada was playing the cartels. I was standing behind Prabhupada one day, and Prabhupada was, I was just like, wow, this is based on prema. I mean, this is pure devotional service beyond. And, you know, it was just like magic. You know, whereas myself, I'll wail at the guitar, you know, it's like passion. But Prabhupada, every little action, every motion, every step he took was devoid of the modes of nature. I mean, it was like that with Prabhupada. Every single, you know, just his opening of the eyes, closing the eyes, every hand motion, everything like that was beyond the gunas. It was prema. It was like poetry in action. Like you've ever seen, you know, dance or some sort of theatrical performance. The actors are perfectly coordinated and everything they do is for their particular role. And because Prabhupada wasn't acting, it was just his emotional state. So, you know, people say, did Prabhupada show symptoms of ecstasy? But those were the secondary symptoms of prema, of an Uttamadhikari. Nityananda Prabhu said, Prabhu, the Kanishtha, can we go back to Kanishtha again, cannot give up household life. The Majjhima may be a householder or a renunciate. Can the Uttamadhikari be a householder? Wow, good question. So this is the question you all are waiting for. But this is actually interesting. The stages exist in the progress of bhakti, but being a householder renunciate does not determine a person's qualification. An Uttama Adhikari may be a householder. All the household devotees in Braj were Uttama Adhikaris. Many of Mahaprabhu's household associates were Uttama Adhikaris. Rai Ramananda is a prime example. So in other words, one's ashram has nothing to do with one's status in devotional service. Nityananda Das said, Prabhu, if an Uttama Adhikari is a householder and the Madhyama Adhikari is a renunciate, how should they interact with each other? Another interesting question. Haridas said, the person of lower qualification should offer respect to the person of higher qualification. This is a rule for the Madhyama Adhikari, since the Uttama Adhikari does not expect respect from others. In his vision, all beings have bhava for the Lord. So in other words, the Madhyama Adhikari should offer respects to the Uttama Adhikari, regardless of ashram. Nityananda Das said, should one gather many Vaishnavas together and have a festival with the distribution of prasad? And Haridas said, from the spiritual point of view, there is no objection to a Madhyama householder gathering many Vaishnavas and feeding them prasad. However, it is not proper for a person to be proud of serving the devotees. I'm such a good servant of the devotees. I cook better than you. There's an element of rajas in that pride. It is necessary to serve prasad with great care to the Vaishnavas who have arrived. That will be respect for the Vaishnavas. One should invite only pure Vaishnavas when offering prasad. So we should station someone at the door. But actually, Prabhupada instructed us to be more merciful than that. So, so Prabhupada makes some adjustment on that. Remember, this is all the scenario. He's speaking just to Babaji's at this point. This is a discussion between the Babaji's. Nityananda Das said, in our Vadagachi, there has arisen a class known as descendants of Vaishnavas. The Kanishtha householders invite them and perform service to them. What type of action is that? In other words, there's descendants of devotees, children of devotees. So the householders think, let's serve them because they're descendants of devotees, like if you have Prabhupada's son or something like that. What type of action is that? Haridas said, do these descendants have pure bhakti? He's asking about the quality of them. Not simply that they're descendants of pure devotees, but do they have pure bhakti? Nityananda Das said, I do not see pure bhakti in them. They introduce themselves as Vaishnavas. Some wear Gopinas. Haridas said, I cannot say why this tradition has spread. Better that it does not exist. It seems to have happened because the Kanishtha cannot recognize a real Vaishnava. So sometimes the devotee, even the devotees of ISKCON, become entrapped by those who may be in the Babaji order and who are not actually, they're not actually qualified. I mean, I had it was one of my friends. He went to Radhakund thinking he was going to understand higher truths because his guru wasn't giving him higher truths. And he started associating with particular Babaji, and then he saw the fault in the Babaji, and he renounced that Babaji, went to another Babaji, and a similar thing happened. And then he just became so discouraged he became a Buddhist. So we have to understand, we have to really, really understand and distinguish between who is on what level of devotional service. The Kanishtha cannot recognize the real Vaishnava. So in other words, like we're talking about the one famous kirtan singer, we were talking about that yesterday. I'm not going to mention his name because we're on the internet. But many devotees listen to him. And he eats meat. He doesn't believe in Krishna. He's one of the most famous kirtan singers there is. Mm-hmm. And the devotees say, we love listening to him. And as we mentioned last night, it's like taking milk touched by the lips of a serpent.
Mm. Is that a devotee? Vaishnava devotee?
He's not a devotee. As I said, he's not a devotee. He doesn't believe in Krishna. And you go into some temples and they're playing his songs,
Oh, really?
His bhajans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he frankly admits he's not a devotee. He eats meat. So he frankly admits that. Now he's friends with the devotees. So, you know, because Kanishkas don't have that discrimination. They think, you know, if someone chants nicely, then they're on a high level of devotional service. Like that. They confuse external expertise with advancement in devotional service. And here's another question here. Nityananda Das said, should one show special respect to the descendants of Vaishnavas? Haridas says, one should respect any Vaishnava. If the descendant is a pure Vaishnava, then according to the degree of his bhakti, one should show respect. Nityananda Das says, if the descendant is materialistic, what should one do? Haridas said, one should count him among the materialists. You know, if a devotee has a child, and the child looks like Krishna, had a child who was a demon. Right? Bhumasura. So we don't consider him a Vaishnava. We consider him a demon. Krishna killed him. One should not consider him a Vaishnava or give respect to a Vaishnava. One should always remember, though, what Mahaprabhu taught. Trinadapi suni chena torarapi sahishana manina manadena kirtaniya sidahari. One should respect, one should not desire respect and should respect all human beings as is suitable. In other words, we still respect him as a human being. Krishna is in his heart. So we give him that respect. One should give respect to a Vaishnava according to the proper respect for Vaishnava. If he is not a Vaishnava, one gives him respect as a human being. If one does not give respect to others, one does not manifest qualification for chanting the holy name. In other words, we respect everyone, even an animal. Even the dog here we respect. Every day offer obeisance to the dog. No, I mean, just like even yesterday, I asked your mother a question. Does someone take him for a walk every day? Because I was concerned that he's just sitting there, just like lonely as anything. Nobody loves me. You know, so that's respect. Not that I treat him as a Vaishnava. Maybe he is, because he hates prasadam. Anyway, so... If one does not give respect to others, one does not manifest qualification for chanting the holy name. So it means all of this according to their particular situation, position. Nityananda Das said, how should one not desire respect for oneself? This is a really important question. How do you get to the point of not desiring other people to respect you? No one respects me. Actually, even if no one respects you, it's actually an impetus for renunciation. Like you have Lord Rishabhadev, he took this Jada Yoga process. You know Jada Yoga. He dressed like a madman, was naked. You know, he lay in his own stool. I'm not suggesting that for us, because it's describing he can make his stool as fragrant as sandalwood pulp. And people were running after him, throwing things. Even Shukadeva Goswami. People were running after him, just making fun of him until he sat down on the Vyasa side. So, Haridas answers, one should not think proudly of oneself as a Brahmin. I'm a Brahmin, a wealthy person, driving a Tesla, a scholar. I have a PhD, a Vaishnava. I'm a Vaishnava. Or as a renunciate. That means, bow down, mister, you know. I'm Guru Maharaj. You know, we should identify ourselves as Gopi Bharata Padakama Ladasa Dasa Dasa Ladasa. If we're attached to the externals, it's just an upadi, temporary designation. One should show that respect to others. One should not desire worship from others because of having such an identity. So the question is, you know, why do I allow people to bathe my feet? Good question. So the reason is I'm serving Krishna. It's not my identity. You know, my identity is a servant of Krishna. So that's the service Krishna gave me right now. It's not that I'm just like thinking, wow, they're bathing my feet. My picture's on the altar. It's like one goes on Facebook and you find a picture of yourself there. And it's like, oh. Or you have your own Facebook page. And you have pictures of yourself with your latest sari on. And your earrings. That's the main picture on your page. Right? Isn't it? Some ladies do that? Or? No. Not you. I didn't say you did. I said some of the ladies. Here's a picture of me and Hari now. So, one should not desire worship from others because of having such an identity. One should think of oneself as lower than the blade of grass, worthless person, miserable and deficient. That doesn't mean you become depressed, you know. I'm miserable and deficient. It's just like, I'm just a servant of Krishna. Just an ordinary person. You know, I'm not the most fallen, nor am I the most elevated. One more question here. Dajananda Das says, it seems from this that one cannot be a Vaishnava if one does not have humility and compassion. And Haridas said, that is true. Without humility and compassion, true humility, offering all respects to others, not desiring respect, one cannot be considered a Vaishnava, true Vaishnava. This is a pretty high bar. Trinadavi Sumichina. That is true. So anyway, we'll go on to stopping our sharing and then allowing people to ask questions. And we allow people to unmute themselves. And then also you have... Okay, our audience here. Okay, sounds pretty full.
You mentioned in the beginning that we can go like Kanishta, from Kanishta we can even go lower.
Yes.
I was just thinking on the lines that if someone goes to Madhyama Adhikari, can they slip lower to Kanishta?
Yes.
They can.
Yeah.
What makes them...
And what makes them down? Bad association, offending devotees, different things like that. Yep. Madhyama Adhikari doesn't guarantee you stay at that platform.
Okay, so we just have to be persistent or consistent.
Well, we have to be careful.
With associations.
Bananli, Sabadana, you know, careful, caution. You have to be careful.
I was thinking, does pride get in the way? And then, like, say,
yes.
Somebody wants to touch my feet all the time or something like that. I'm not saying.
Yeah, that's one of the final. Causes of anartha is actually in devotional service, the byproducts of bhakti, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, yes. That can get in the way. So that's why we see many, many people in every religion, they become more and more prominent and then they fall down. The higher you go, the harder it is to fall. You know, when you're just starting devotional service, like the basement, you don't really get hurt if you fall out of the basement window. I just fell in the basement. Take me to the hospital. No. First floor, it's a little more dangerous. But if you're already in the penthouse, you know where a penthouse is?
Yes.
The top floor. And then you're finished. So you got to be really, you have to be more careful the higher you go. Because with more higher position, there's more responsibility. Yeah, it's a great responsibility, a higher position. All right, so anyone else here? Yes.
Guru, at what stage of bhakti, like ashakti, bhava, prema, does that crushed chickpea starts to dissolve? And it also
starts to dissolve at... starts to dissolve at Nardhanavritti.
Nardhanavritti, yeah. But then when it goes away, at what stage does it go away?
Absolutely, it goes away at prema.
Prema, okay.
Not until prema.
Right.
It may be gone at bhava, but it's not absolutely gone. It could come back if one's not attentive.
Yeah.
Like with Bart Maharaj. He was in bhava, and then he came back because of his inattention.
Is it same with the conditioning as well, as it goes away then?
Or yeah, I mean, it can come back. Like, you know, there's that story of Punar Mushaka Bhava. You know the story? Tani, you know the story of Punar Mushaka Bhava? I'll tell it real quickly. Once upon a time, there was a nice rat.
Oh.
A Hare Krishna rat. And he was living close to the ashram of a great devotee. He was living near my house. So anyway, so he's living in the ashram of a great devotee. So be careful. So anyway, so he's living near the ashram of a great devotee. And a cat was bothering him. So he went to the sage and was like, do something about this. And the sage said, okay, you should become a cat. So this rat became a cat. Yeah, the sages can transform people. Like,
oh.
If I were to say to you, become a kangaroo, you could become a kangaroo.
I don't want to become a kangaroo.
All right, then you better behave yourself. So, I'm just teasing. And so, but then the cat was bothered by what?
A dog.
So the dog, you know, dogs chase cats. Right. It's a normal procedure. So the cat went back to the sage and said, Maharaj, I'm in trouble. And the sage said, all right, you become a dog. And so the cat became a dog. And I thought, this is great. But then there was a lion who was actually chasing the dog around. This is in India. It wasn't in Australia. And so he went to the sage and said, save me. And the sage said, all right, you become a lion. And then he became a lion, and then the lion started to chant Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu, Govinde, Ramadhi,
yeah.
Govinde.
I thought that the humans would hunt the lions.
Humans hunt lions, yeah. But so this lion was looking at the sage and he was getting hungry, because lions eat people. So, and then the sage said, all right, you're finished. Punar Mushaka Bhava, again. Become a mouse. So that's what happens. You know, you advance, and you become proud and everything, and then you become a mouse again. Isn't that a nice story? So you got to remember that.
If you abuse your powers, then you go back down.
Yes, you abuse your powers, you go back down. You abuse your position. Don't listen to your parents. No. Don't do that to
you. Don't need to repeat it.
Don't do that to the poor young devotee. Yeah.
Yeah. You hear that?
Nice one.
So, here's one question online. Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is from Lord Brahma. This Krishna Keshava's friend in Orlando, Florida. Hare Krishna Maharaj, can one not go back to Godhead unless one becomes an Uttamadhikari, or can Majjhimas go back to Godhead? You have to be pure devotee to go back to Godhead. Without any other desire. Otherwise, well, Krishna is actually very kind. He may send you to where his pastimes are taking place in the material world to undergo that final purification. You may take birth where Krishna's pastimes are taking place, and then you have the final purification without being purified in this particular lifetime. So, you know, Krishna can also make some adjustment to give you a final purification, or something may happen at the time of death. You may be a Majjhimadhikari, and then at the time of death, you know, you may just say, okay, I surrender. That's it. Surrender. Okay, and you become Uttamadhikari 2 seconds before you croak. That may happen too. Okay, and Gopal has a question, so you can unmute yourself and ask your question, Mr. Gopal.
Please accept my obeisance, Srila Gurudev.
Yes, so what's the question?
In all these descriptions, it says there's pretty definitive language. If you're not merciful and you're not humble, then you can't be counted as a Vaishnava and so forth. But in the material world, we see that such things are more of a spectrum than... So is it that, is it the same in spiritual life that one can be, you know, somewhat proportionally?
Yeah, that's why there's different grades. You know, let's say if one's a Kanishna Majjhima, then there's still a little bit of the tendency left. Yeah.
But with these labels, the labels seem somewhat static. It seems that
absolute statements, yeah. One has to understand them in context. I mean, this is what hermeneutics is for.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're very absolute statements, but one understands there's different gradations, even, you know, in the beginning stage of Majjhima, there's going to be, you know, some envy there and other things like that.
Can that gradation be as variable as, say, a volume button? Or a volume knob?
Yeah,
where,
it's not quantified.
Thank you, Guru.
Okay, yeah, it's not quantified. I mean, obviously one's advancement is not quantified. It's just like, yeah, it's variable. It's, it's linear. Let's see what the right word is. It's proportional. It's proportional. As proportional is the right word. And it's not like... The reason quantum mechanics is called quantum mechanics, for those of you in science, is there's different quantas of energy when the electron is going around the atom, you know, the nucleus of the atom. And there's certain, it's not continuously variable, the energy states. Does everyone understand that?
Yeah.
That's why it's called quantum. That's actually where the word came from, the energy states. They're quantified, you know, or the electron is spinning this way or spinning that way. Yeah. It's not somewhere in between. But actually, also quantum mechanics, the electron can be spinning both ways simultaneously. Someone could be. It's a crazy field. As Schrodinger said, the cat could be both dead and alive simultaneously. Mm-hmm. You know about that?
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard about that before? Yeah. Until you observe it.
Yeah.
When you observe the cat, it chooses. Anyway, don't ask me what that means. Even scientists don't understand that fully. So, let's see. Whoop, time to go. Yeah, one other question.
One last question. If there's a Madhyama Uttama Divari, and then if we're discussing about something, probably the person going through didn't like it, not so Krishna consciousness, so if we associate with them, is it like a bad association?
No. Madhyama Kanishta is not bad. Anyway, we associate appropriately with everybody. It's just a question of appropriate association. Okay, one other question from Shama Kushori. Shama Kushori, you have a question?
Hare Krishna Gurudev, please accept my obeisances.
Jai, Samay.
So, Gurudev, it's from yesterday's class that in the last sentence, it is from the sloka, Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 51 chapter, 53 sloka. The translation, the sentence is like that, the devotees who take shelter of any person who takes shelter of devotees and are independent of higher and lower beings. I didn't understand that sentence.
I have to make reference to it. Anyone who takes shelter of devotees, could you give me
I'll read that complete. When the material life of a wandering soul has ceased, O Achyuta, he may attain the association of your devotees. And when he associates with them, there awakens in him devotion unto you, who take shelter of your devotees and are independent of higher and lower beings.
Yeah. So he's independent of all material, not higher and lower devotees, but independent of all people with material, higher and lower material designations. In other words, whether one is a grahastha, a brahmachari, sannyasi, doesn't matter to him. Whether one is man or woman, these are actually just external manifestations that are unimportant to him. Okay?
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice question. Okay. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Same time, same station. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.